Kids are going to stay in service, but if they want to come join me up front out here, because we're going to do some fun stuff today. So if you're 18 and under, you're welcome up here. If you're 18, you don't have to come up. But if you're 17, you have to. No, I'm just kidding. Teenagers, you don't have to, but it would be helpful. So just have a seat for a moment, kids. So as we think, come on up. Just join me. So we love families. God loves families. He loves relationship. He loves unity. And so part of our family service is building unity and relationship within the church body. So we don't always just send them away. We do our thing. They do their thing. And we never come together. So that's part of what we're doing here this summer. Just don't play the drums. Okay, like I know that. I didn't need told. Look at these guys, and there's a bunch of them out in the woods today enjoying life, enjoying camping and recreation. So what we're going to talk about today is monuments and recreation. Because Memorial Day is all about mementos or monuments, and it's a day typically that we celebrate veterans that have fallen in service of our freedom in this country. But I think also we have some spiritual veterans that maybe haven't won any awards or don't have a plaque put up for them somewhere. But we are here today because somebody in the spirit world went before us and paved the way for us to get to where we are today. Our grandparents, our parents, our great-grandparents, maybe somebody we don't even know, our Sunday school teachers, guys like Billy Graham. Yeah, lots of people. Clear back down to in the Bible today, we're going to talk a little about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You're probably beginning to see a theme of our last family service. Because Abraham is accredited as the father of faith. So way back in Abraham's day, it began. And we're carrying it on. We are his descendants, real loosely, shirt-tail relation. But are you having fun yet? Oh, yeah. We're going to have more fun, okay? So when I think of monuments, I usually think of a cemetery and thousands of white crosses lined up or headstones lined up. What are some other monuments you guys can help me think of today? Say it loud. I don't hear well. You got to help me out. Anybody else a monument? A memento? As a Christian, I think of this great big wooden thing. What's that called? The cross! So do we worship the cross? No. But what does it remind us of?
Jesus.
Jesus and his what for us? His love, his disciples. Reminds us that he loves us and we are to be his disciples, right? Yeah, so we don't worship the cross, but the cross is pretty awesome because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. So it's a great monument to look at and help us remember. So monuments help us remember. Okay? So over in that tote, Aaliyah, can you bring that tote over here in the middle? There's a bunch of red cups. And I need some help building some monuments out front here as I speak. Can you do that for me? So you can get in teams. You can build alone. Let's see what you come up with on your own first.
He's playing the drums.
He's playing the drums. You stay off the drums. Come on over, fellas. Okay, if you could build them on the steps or the floor so I don't trip over them up here, that would be awesome. Because I'm a wanderer. I'm still pretty nomadic in my speaking. So if we could do this with as quiet of talking as possible, that would be awesome. So as they're building our monuments, we're going to jump into the Word of God and look at a few monuments that they built and why they built them. They need some more cups, guys. You got it? So we're going to jump into the book of Joshua, chapter 4. Joshua Joshua chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. So Joshua called together 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are there to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." Did you catch that? They're to be a memorial. We don't worship and praise the rocks. We don't exalt them. But when you see this pile of 12 stones, or at least the Israelites, it reminds them of the mercy of God, of the love of God, of the promises of God. Because what the Israelites are doing at this point, they're crossing the Jordan River into the promised land that was promised to them hundreds of years ago. Meanwhile, they had to be slaves in Egypt. They had to get freed from Egypt. Then they had to wander around a desert and die off for 40 years before they could enter into the promised land. So the monument or memorial is to remind us of the goodness of God, or the promises of God and what He's done in our lives. So you and I should set up some monuments in our lives. And they don't have to be physical structures of rock. Can I help you? Put one right. Yeah. There you go. One monument was destroyed during the construction. But I'm sure they can rebuild it. Maybe we're singing now. So a monument in your life could be anything. It doesn't have to be a structure. You could have a picture on the wall. You could have a side note written by a verse in your Bible. You could have many things, but something that when you see it or look at it, it makes you reflect on the goodness of God, the promises of God, what He's done or what He has said He will do. Because for these Israelites, they had to wait for generations for the promise to come to pass. But they believed by faith for things they could not see, but believed in and hoped for until it came to pass. So it keeps our faith strong. It keeps us moving forward. Genesis 28, verses 10 through 22. You guys having fun with the monuments yet? You did not? What? Well, you will soon. It's going to be fun. Look at this one. All sorts of fun and creativity going on. So Genesis chapter 28. Of course, Jacob here, picking up at verse 10. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. That's what I always do when I'm hiking. I find a good stone for a pillow. Right? Does anybody else do that? Okay, I think Jacob was the only one. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to the heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring." We're part of those all people. We're still enduring or experiencing, accepting, enjoying the promise that God gave to Abraham and to Isaac is still being passed down to us. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." He was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. I want to know how big this stone was if he could set it up as a pillar. It's a pretty big rock. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow saying, "If God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth." So we see Jacob here setting up his monument to remember the promises of God, or what God had showed him. And then he also acknowledges God as the giver of everything. He says, "I'm going to give you a tenth." Of course, this is where we get the concept of tithing. "I'm going to give you a tenth of everything you've given me because I'm acknowledging you." So for me, every time I pay tithe, it reminds me of all that God has given me. He's given me 100% of everything I have, and he asked for a tenth back. Yeah, they're having some construction difficulties with that one. But he's given me everything and asked a tenth back in acknowledgement or as a monument to remind me of all he's done for me, all he's given me. Even our tithe can be a monument unto the Lord, a reminder of what he's done, of what he's promised, of what he's given in our lives. Now we've looked at a few monuments. How about the recreation? Memorial Day is a big recreation weekend. Should we recreate? What does the Bible say about it? I believe if you break down recreation, it says recreation. David in the Bible, a man after God's own heart. How many times did he come before the Lord? And we had another monument toppling. And said, "Lord, create in me a new heart. Create in me a new mind. Create in me a right spirit. That I would think your ways. That I would act on your will and not my own." David was constantly asking God to recreate in him a new man, or a new way of thinking, or a new way of doing, to be more like God. So we should be in constant recreation mode to better form and shape ourselves as God is shaped and formed, to be more like him. Mark chapter 6, verse 31. Mark chapter 6, verse 31. Of course, Jesus is here with his disciples. It says, "Then because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, 'Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest.'" Do you know that God is always calling to you? He says, "Come away with me and get some rest. Come away with me and let me recreate in you." But you know what we have to do? We have to leave the busyness of life that is so busy we don't even have time to eat. Anybody ever had a day like that? It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon and I'm hangry. And I don't know why I'm being so hangry. And then a light bulb clicks on and says, "Arby, you haven't eaten today. All you've done is go, go, go. And your body's trying to tell you, we need food." And so I get a bowl of ice cream and go about my day. No, it needs something more fulfilling than that. But Jesus is always inviting us to come away with Him so He can recreate in us a right heart, a right spirit, right thinking, right doing to bless His people. But we have to take time out of our busy schedule to come away with Him. You know what I love about going out in nature or the woods with kids? Is you don't have to take anything. Because there's sticks, and there's rocks, and there's leaves, and there's moss. And by the end of a weekend, they've created a castle, or a fort, or a gymnasium, or only God knows what. Because the creativity of our Creator is within us. And if left to our own creation, we can make some pretty crazy things out of nothing. It's the Creator coming through in us, recreating in us that thinking of what can I do with this? What did God do with a little bit of dirt? He breathed on it and made man. Right? God wants to recreate in us. We should be creative. We should be ongoing thinkers. We should be doers. I want to take a moment here and honor some graduates. I don't know who all we have with us today that just graduated. But if I know I see one, so I recognize, I'm going to make you stand. Have you graduated this past weekend or a few months? Yeah. We had a bunch more from our body graduate this weekend, but they're out. They have family and from out of town. But these young individuals are getting ready to launch into society. God has placed inside of them so much creativity that they can go out and be whatever they want if they can believe that they can be whatever they want. Because God, Creator of heaven and earth, the universe, is living inside of you. You're not limited to what your teacher says you can or can't do. You're not limited to what society says you can or can't do. But you're limited to what the Lord God Almighty can give to you to think or dream up. Some other people we honor and recognize today would be our fathers or mothers in the faith that have went before us, that have paved the way for us to be where we are today, whether it's in our personal family or in our church family. There's a bunch of patrons that have paved the way so we could be in this building today, so that we could be on this property today, so that we could have access in the Spirit and freedom in the Spirit that we have today. I don't know if you ever get out of the valley much, but if you go to other places in America, and especially overseas, there are oppressed villages, countries, counties, states, whatever you continents that are oppressed by dark spiritual forces. And you can feel it all around you. And it's real and it's alive. And we don't have that in this valley as a whole. There are some spots in this valley, of course. But darkness does not prevail in our valley because of those who have gone before us and fought those spiritual battles on their knees, asking God to bring His covering, His presence into this place. And now it's you and I's turn to continue that, to continue opening up the heavens so that God's grace and mercy and love can flow in this valley. So we've got to do our part. Another people we want to honor is people that have fought the wars before us. They've went, they've stepped in, going clear back to the promised land. They crossed the Jordan and began taking back territories. Those who have fought in America for our freedom. Those who have fought around the world. We give honor to them. We remember their sacrifice and what it took for us to be able to do what we do today. Another one I would think is we honor those in industry. How many of you enjoyed a ride down the highway today in a vehicle? Even Bear Claw, in his buckskins and all, he rode an iron horse to church. Because of industry and people using their creativity that God gave them, My best friend, we were out hunting once, we were sitting on a hillside, and he goes, have you ever thought, if you went back 200 years in time, would you be any use to society and invention or creating? If you had all the knowledge you have from today. And we thought about it, we decided neither one of us would have been useful. Because like, I know vehicles, but I don't know how to make all the stuff that makes them work. I don't know how to do all that. I know electricity, but I don't know how to channel it and make it work. I couldn't go back and explain to them how to do that. So they would be like, what's this guy talking about? But if we use that creativity, that imagination that God gives us, the sky's the limit. Well, it used to be, but I heard there's foot tracks on the moon. But God can do anything with us if we'll open our minds to His wisdom, His knowledge. We can go where He wants us to go and do what He wants us to do. Exodus chapter 23, verse 12. Are you guys having fun finally? That's wonderful. More cups. See, Exodus 23, 12. So it's talking about the Sabbath laws. 6 days do your work, but on the seventh day do not work, so that your ox and your donkey may rest, and so that the slave born in your household and the foreigner living among you may be refreshed. So we... Did I do that? Oh, good. We are to work hard and enjoy working. We should work at everything we do, even if it's building monuments out of paper and plastic cups. We should do it with all our might. We should do it with joy as unto the Lord. Whether we're scrubbing a toilet or building the next space shuttle, we should do it with perfect intentions of excellence. We should do it with all of our heart, all of our might, all of our strength, as unto the Lord. But then he does say, yes, then you need a rest or some recreation. So in our rest, our body is recreating strength and endurance and ability. And we need that at the end of our work so that we can go out and be more productive once again. Genesis 21:20. So work hard and refresh or recreate your body. Genesis 21:20. God was with the boy as he grew up. He lived in the desert and became an archer. These kids are having a hoot up here if you can't see it. So the boy we're talking about in this passage is Ishmael, the son of Abraham, through Sarah's handmaiden, Hagar. So an illegitimate son, or not the son that God promised to him at least. So at this point, Abraham, what's up? She's having too much fun. This is the foreman, just making sure the work's getting done. See, she's already found her position in life, right? Yeah. So Abraham has just sent Hagar and Ishmael out into the desert, gave them a vat of water and a little bit of food, and they ventured out to the end of their water. And Hagar's child is crying. He's crying and she doesn't know what to do. They're out of water and she finally sets him under a bush and walks off far enough that she can't hear him cry because she can't bear to listen to her son die or scream as he dies. So they're in a pretty bad place in life, right? Can we agree? They're in a pretty bad place. And then the angel of the Lord comes to Hagar and opens her eyes, and she sees a well, and hope is restored. And then this verse comes in. God was with the boy as he grew up. He lived in the desert and became an archer. An archer was very important in that day. It was a protector, a provider for hunting or for defense in battle. It was a very important position in life. So he went from destitute, rejected, illegitimate, going to die in the desert, to God is with me. He's protecting and providing me, raising and training me. Some of us in our lives are in that position of we feel rejected and isolated and destitute, and as there's no hope. But God doesn't want you to live in that false identity. He says, if you'll rest in me, I will create in you who I've created you to be. And you can go forward and not live in that false identity, but you can live in the identity that I've given you. And of course, we know that he makes Ishmael into a great nation and not some lost boy in the desert. So if you put your faith and your trust in God, he will create in you or recreate in you. He can rewrite the story of your life. You don't have to be where you're at today. If you don't like it, seek God. Ask him to recreate in you who he's created you to be. And he will go forth and he will do it. So don't take on false identities. Oh, sweetheart. Did you build that one? Oh my goodness, look at that. The prayer team's got fun praying around these today. So I want to close with this last piece. I have a monument back here that I've stashed away. It's one of my latest monuments in my life. I have many that remind me of different seasons of my life. They're around my house or in my Bible or something, but this is a buck I found. Of course, they're drop antlers. I didn't shoot this one. So this last December, on the 12th of December, the day my grandmother passed away. So these are my granny antlers. And I'm going to cut these eye guards off so I don't mash my thumbs when I'm rattling. I'm going to turn them into a set of rattling antlers so I can carry them with me in the woods. Remember all the hunts that Grandma and I had? Because since I was about that big, I was trudging around the woods with Grandma hunting. But more than that, to remember the godly woman she was and to rejoice in knowing that she's in heaven today, pain-free, getting the reward that she believed her whole life in. Though she could not see it, she believed it. And for her faithfulness is being rewarded because she has accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. So I can think about that, and I can think about the generosity of Grandma. She would give you the shirt off her own back. And she never liked me to tell this story when she was living, but now that she's not here, then she can throw a brick from heaven, I guess. When my cousin and I were just little kids, probably about her size, maybe Liam's size. We weren't very big. And two of us could go out at a time with Grandpa and Grandma in a boat and go fishing, because any more kids than that with hooks is just dangerous. So we would take turns rotating. My cousin and I finally got our turn. We didn't get very far out. And Grandma goes, John, I got to use the restroom. I'm like, oh, Grandma, please no. We want to fish. We don't want to go back. So my grandmother, this is the kind of woman she was. She would make a way when there seemed to be no way. So she found an empty coffee can on the boat. And she said, you kids look straight out the back and don't turn around. And Grandma went potty in a coffee can so we could continue fishing. Her love and generosity toward those around her, that's the woman she was. And I don't forget things like that. And so a simple thing like a set of antlers that I found on the day of her passing are going to be a monument in my life to how generous and loving and kind I should be to those around me and how faithfully I should follow God, even when it doesn't look like things are going to work out, even if it looks like I've lost all hope, to still know that God is good, God is great. And Grandma was always good about recreating. She always took us camping and hunting, took us to the park to play. But when you were with Grandma, it was work day. You were up at 6 a.m. and you were working till 6 p.m. On work days, you worked, and you worked hard, and everybody worked. There were no slackers. But on rest days, we played and had a lot of fun. I even remember one Sunday night in church, my same cousin and I were with her again in Lewiston, going to their church. And for some reason, we got Grandma giggling in the evening service. And she was trying to quit giggling, and she kept giggling and laughing and wouldn't stop. And my grandpa's poker says, "Surely stop it. Surely quit." And the more he did it, the more she laughed. And pretty soon all three of us were laughing. And it disturbed the whole church service. And Grandma was so embarrassed by that. Even we talked about it on her last few days here. And she was still embarrassed about it. She's like, "You're not supposed to act like that in church." But boy, didn't we have fun. So have fun with life, enjoy it, recreate, get some monuments in your life to remind you of the goodness of God, that He does love you, that He does care for you, that He would die for you. The cross is one of the great reminders. Now we have styrofoam cups and red solo cups as reminders of how good God is. Amen. Amen. Would all you kids come up here for a moment? I need all my builders. Yep. Hey, Squirt. Come on over, kiddos. Okay, sit up. So these are the future. We're looking at the next presidents or mayors or teachers or businessmen and women. Maybe the next president. We don't know who they will become. But we know if we help them remember who God is and who they can become in God and who He calls them to be and not who the world says they are or cannot be. But if we keep calling them higher, they will keep going higher. Did you see they built the cups and then they fell down? They thought, well, if we build them narrower, they can go higher. And they kept bringing them closer and going higher and higher. It's the same way in life. If we continue pushing them or calling them higher and higher, if you tell them who they will be and can become, they will become. But if you tell them who they will be and can become, they will become. So call our next generation higher. When you see a kid, applaud them. Encourage them. Love them. They really got with it over there, didn't they? Now, do you guys think you can help me pick all those cups up? Yeah, put them in nice, neat stacks. So go and have a blessed Memorial Day. I'm going to invite Wayne to come and close us out.